Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. It is Tuesday, August 4th, and the Giants continue with the strength and conditioning part of summer training camp, which it actually started yesterday. And if you hopped on over to GiantsCountry.com, I put a video up with some segments that the Giants had tweeted out, made a video compilation. But basically right now, the Giants, who reduced their roster to a league max of 80 over the weekend, can now spend no more than 60 minutes in the weight room. Of course, that will be done in smaller groups, and then they can do up to 60 minutes of on-field conditioning. And then in a couple of days, they will be able to do up to 60-minute walkthroughs, which can be then expanded to 75-minute walkthroughs on each of the last 4 days. So this period that we are in now runs from August 3rd to August 11th. And there's a day off on August 8th, and then we move to the next part of the training camp, which is, I think they work in shorts, shells, and helmets, I believe, is the next part. So we're moving right along, and, you know, some good news in that the Giants, as far as COVID, I have, you know, other, again, than David Sills, who was placed on COVID, the COVID reserve list back in the start of training camp. Giants haven't had anybody else in there. So, you know, they haven't added anybody else to that list, which is good. That means they are managing this. The players are taking it seriously, which is really what you've got to do. I mean, you can't mess around there. The protocols are in place, and if you don't follow them, guess what? You're gonna have problems. So the Giants, so far as we can tell, doing a good job with that. So anyway, on today's show, going to give you three random things about the Giants as we count down to basically what is going to be the start of practices probably in another couple weeks. But before I get to the first of the three things in each of the segments, just want to let you know that starting on Wednesday, we are actually going to get some more video conference calls. Joe Judge will be on with the media again on Wednesday. And then we're going to have players on Thursday and Friday. So what I will do, as I did last week, is I will get that audio, and then I'll just cut some of that up and kind of just discuss anything that is relevant or worth discussing at that time. So, all right, let's jump into the first thing. Again, the theme of today's show are three things, and they are random things about the Giants. So obviously you just tune in to see what, to each segment to see which one is which. And the first thing I want to talk about is the salary cap. Now, this is kind of interesting because, as you guys probably know, I do a lot of work on the salary cap. I pay attention to it. I know it. I understand most of it. I'm not saying I understand everything, but I understand a good chunk of it. And I was looking at the breakdown of the Giants by position. And what I found interesting is the highest paid group used to be the offensive line, which according to SpotRack was at $41.11 million for 13 players. Anyway, in looking at the offensive line, now your biggest cap hit is Kevin Zeitler, who is at 12.5. But otherwise, you have a bunch of young players who are making under $6 million, you know, worth of cap hit. And I include in that group Nick Gates. Nick Gates, as I mentioned before, he is on the last year of his rookie deal. So his initial cap hit was $676,668. He gets an additional $500,000 by virtue of the $1.5 million signing bonus that came with his new contract extension. So that just tacks on an extra $500,000 onto his cap figure. What I like about what the Giants did with this offensive line in terms of the contracts, and what I hope continues to be the case as they move into next year, which understand is, you know, obviously a ways off, but they now have the potential to put a young, homegrown offensive line on that field. So let's think about that for a second. Andrew Thomas, homegrown, first round draft pick. Will Hernandez, homegrown. He was a second round pick. At center, potentially we're looking at Nick Gates for the long term. Nick Gates, although he went undrafted, he was an undrafted free agent the Giants signed, so you can consider him homegrown. Eventually at right guard, and you know, the wild card here is Zeitler, because Zeitler so far hasn't shown any signs of dropping off his performance, but again, the cap hit is going up. But the Giants eventually, I think, plan to put Shane Lemieux in there. So again, another homegrown guy. And then finally at right tackle, the plan, you know, that they're hoping for is for Matt Peart, this year's third round draft pick, to be there. So for the first time, and I can't remember, I'd have to go back and look, because I cannot remember a time when the Giants could potentially have all homegrown players, meaning players that got their NFL start with the team, either as an undrafted free agent or as a draft pick. This could be potentially the first time, come 2021, mind you, it's not going to happen this year, that the Giants would be in a position to have that. That, folks, is how you rebuild a football team. And that's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they get some of these guys that I mentioned on the field. You know, is Nick Gates, for example, going to be able to get on the field ahead of Spencer Pulley? Are we going to see Matt Peart at some point at right tackle? Are we going to see Shane Lemieux at some point? Get these guys some experience, especially if the Giants aren't going anywhere, and get that line ready so that they could start to come together as a unit. Because I really believe that those five that I just mentioned to you, Thomas, Hernandez, Gates, Peart, and Lemieux, I think that's going to be your starting offensive line moving forward. So just something I found interesting when I was looking over the cap layout, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. Folks, you are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. We are going to take our first break, and when we come back, item number two on the Three Things show, so stay with us.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of cars and trucks, it's become impossible for retail shops to stock everything in a traditional chain storefront. So the next time you need a part for your car or truck, visit rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Rockauto.com offers scores of different auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers for nearly every make and model of car out there. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and are the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is the Three Things show. Basically, three things that during the course of my writing and reading and research that I came across and just figured I would just talk about, just put it out there, food for thought. You know, some interesting stuff, I think. You know, there's actually more than three things, but, you know, I've only have room for three on the show. Before I continue, though, I know several of you have asked me about bringing back the Twitter mailbag. Now, as you know, I've been doing the mailbag mostly on giantscountry.com. I do want to bring it back for the podcast as well, because I know some of you prefer to listen to the podcast in the mailbag as you're driving or working out or doing housework or whatever. So if you want to see the mailbag come back, I need to have at least five questions specifically for the mailbag. So send those to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. This way I know to keep them specifically for the podcast. And what I'll look to do is I will devote a show probably, you know, either this weekend or, you know, at the latest by next week, early next week, with your questions. All right. Item number two of the three things show. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley. Now, there is a debate of sorts brewing as to whether or not the Giants will look to redo Saquon Barkley's contract next year, give him an extension or a new deal that pays him, you know, big money. In an ordinary year, I would say, yeah, absolutely, makes sense. You know, Barkley right now, his cap hit is he accounts for 4.35% of the cap this year. And his cap hit is, let me see, it's 8.597. So 8.5 million. In 2021, it goes up to 10 million, the cap hit. But here's the problem with this whole, or I should say not the problem, the debate with whether or not to sign Barkley. The cap next year is definitely going to drop. Now, we don't know by how much. The feeling, you know, is that, or actually it's already been determined that it cannot go lower than $175 million. The Giants, you know, having done some preliminary cap crunching numbers and whatnot, the Giants are going to be okay. They're not going to be, you know, in a position where now all of a sudden they have to cut five or six guys that might have been core guys to get under the cap. They have made sure that as they structure their contracts with their free agent class, they did a pretty good job so that if they have to cut those guys at some point, they're not going to get slammed with dead money. So with that said, though, next year, you're going to also have Dalvin Tomlinson, who will have to have his contract addressed. You may want to look at Leonard Williams' contract, depending on how he does this year. Okay. Those are two big ones right there that will probably need to be addressed. So the question now becomes is, are you going to have enough money to worry about Saquon Barkley? Or do you maybe wait until the next year to do Barkley's contract? Now, there's pros and cons to each. Obviously, if you defer the decision to the following year, you save the money. You don't have to worry about it. You have him under contract. Chances are he probably won't hold out. I don't think he's that type of guy. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. And you don't have to worry about it. You can devote your money to the other guys that you need to devote it to. The drawback is that you will eventually have Daniel Jones coming up. So let's say, you know, next year they decide to punt on Barkley and, you know, they decide not to give him his new deal. Well, next year will be year three of Daniel Jones's career. So after year three, he will then be eligible to have his contract done. So now what do? You have Barkley and then Jones potentially needing their contracts done at the same time. So do you wait if you're the Giants and then you just say, you know what, we might not be able to afford a Dalvin Tomlinson or a Leonard Williams, so we'll just, you know, punt on those decisions? Or do you roll the dice? It's a tough one, folks. I mean, if it were me, I would say maybe get it over with and just, you know, structure that contract in such a way so that if and when you do have to cut it, it's not going to create a big burden on your salary cap. All right. Jones, ultimately, that's going to be the big contract they're going to have to address. That one will probably have a little bit more staying power since, you know, we have seen franchise quarterbacks capable of lasting a heck of a lot longer than franchise running backs. So this is going to be an interesting decision that Dave Gettleman will have to make. And, I'm curious to see how it's going to work out. I really believe that if they end up paying Barkley, they probably are not going to be able to afford Leonard Williams next year, which is going to make that mysterious trade that they made, that head scratcher, hurt all the more. So we'll see how that one plays out, but just something, again, to think about and keep in mind as we, start to look ahead a little bit for next year. All right, folks, you are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. This is the Three Things show, and we're going to take our final break. When we come back, the final thing that's on my mind. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, Patricia Traina. And it is a Tuesday show, and we are doing three things. These are things that kind of popped into my head as I was researching, reading, just thinking about Giants football. That's, you know, pretty much what's been consuming my days of late. And, football's back. So it's great. Pretty soon we'll have some different stuff to write about. And I look forward to that. I look forward to bringing you the different coverage that I'm capable of bringing you. All right. So for this last thing that I thought about, I want to talk about the Giants defensive secondary, because the secondary has been, you know, when we talk about the problems on defense, a lot of people point to the pass rush. And yes, that has been a problem, but the defensive secondary hasn't exactly helped things. You know, I have always maintained that there have been years where the defensive pass rush has just missed out on getting to the quarterback. And the reason why they weren't able to get to the quarterback, quite simply, because the back end of the defense could not hold its coverage long enough. So a lot of times it just looked like that the defensive front just barely missed getting to the quarterback. And it was frustrating. It was definitely frustrating to watch. But, you know, I look at the Giants' defensive backs and how they remade that backfield. And, you know, granted, there is still the matter of determining who's going to be the starter opposite of James Bradberry at cornerback. I would not be surprised if the Giants look to go size at that other spot. You know, obviously the player has to have the skills, but you want to have a big physical guy playing both of those cornerback spots. And Bradberry is certainly, you know, a physical player. It remains to be seen who of the other candidates, Sam Beal, Corey Valentin, Darnay Holmes. I mean, not all those guys are big guys, but they, you know, certainly physical. And then there's another guy that whose name was mentioned to me as somebody to watch, and that was Christian Angulo, who is an undrafted free agent who has size. So you go back and you look at how Patrick Graham tried to structure his defense when he was in Miami. They looked for size and physical corners who can play that press man coverage and really, you know, knock receivers off their routes. So I'm just thinking that maybe that is what the Giants are going to be looking to accomplish as they go forward this summer. Now, whether or not they're able to do it, I don't know. But they can certainly, you know, try that. At safety, and I wrote about this for Giants Country, at safety, what they are likely going to do now that they have Xavier McKinney, who some people, I think I've seen some draft analysis say that he's like a poor man's Isaiah Simmons, a guy who I know a lot of Giant fans wanted. But with with Xavier McKinney in there lining up alongside of Jabril Peppers, and then you factor in Julian Love, who, you know, is going to be a cornerback slash safety. I think the Giants can get back to the three safety set. And if you remember in 2011, they had that three safety set. It was Deion Grant, Kenny Phillips, and Antrell Roll. And that three safety set was amazing. They helped with the pass rush. They helped in the back end with the coverage. I mean, they were able to do so many more things than they've been able to do recently. So, you know, I just think when you look at the most improved, potentially I'm speaking now, the most improved unit on this team, I think the defensive secondary is it. I mean, hands down, if those guys all stay healthy and if they find the right guy to complement Bradbury, we could be talking probably one of the best defensive backfields the Giants have had since that 2011 season. And wouldn't that be nice if that group could help the pass rush by holding its coverage, number one, and also by just kind of, putting pressure on the quarterback and above all, staying with opposing tight ends and backs who leak out of the backfield at that second level, which was another problem for this Giants defense. So again, something to keep an eye on for this year, something that if it comes together, I think is going to make a big difference, and I'm excited to see it. So, all right, Giants fans, that'll do it for today's show. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be hearing from head coach Joe Judge. So I will have that show probably for you in the afternoon once I have a chance to do all my writing and cutting up audio and whatnot. And then we will continue to have audio from the video conferences that we have scheduled with various players. I think Daniel Jones is going to be on the line. Blake Martinez, Saquon Barkley. Those are some of the guys I think are going to be on the line. So we will bring you obviously some of those clips and we'll talk about all that stuff. So, all right, Giant fans. So until tomorrow, have a great day and talk to you soon.